Rock and Roll 2022 nominations are out. Billy, we're going to run down the list. There's
just Rock and Roll, no Hall of Fame.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees are out for 2022. Just Rock and Roll. It's dead. But I'm going to just name in alphabetical order the artist. You say yay or nay for this year. And you could say yay to all of them or nay to all of them.
I'm with the, I forget who had this take, but like it's the baseball writer thing. Like if you're a Hall of Famer now, you're a Hall of Famer forever.
True. But so let's see. Let's see what you think. So we'll start in alphabetical order. First time nominee, Beck.
Yeah. You know what? He had a varying career. Yep.
He's kick-ass. I think he was like genre bending and then had that really nice revival in the later or the earlier 2010s. Yeah, he was amazing. Pat Benatar.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
I say yes. I think there is a skew for female too. She's a female rock star. She kicks ass.
She's great though.
Yep, she is. Kate Bush.
I think she misses up.
Yeah, no offense. No, not even close. Not like how is she even on the nomination, with all due respect. I guess that sounds very disrespectful, though. Devo.
No, just one song.
Absolutely not. There's no. Duran Duran, which real quick.
Surprise. I love Duran Duran. Love Duran Duran.
This is their first time on being nominated, Bill. First time. They've been around since the mid-80s.
I mean, I love them. They're a Hall of Famer because they have a ton of hits. And like it's kind of like the baseball thing. They were a dominant group for a decent stretch.
I'm not even thinking of it twice. They're in for me. First time nominee and the first year eligible. They usually don't do this. So this guy came out swinging. He's getting in. His name's Eminem.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, probably, yeah, if not the greatest rapper ever, the greatest lyrical rapper ever.
Yeah, and he also like meant a lot. At that time, you know what I mean? He was like the biggest rapper late 90s. So obviously 97, you have to be 20.
He's on tease ahead. He's on our list a few times here.
He sure is. The Arrhythmics.
No. Nope. I mean, I do love
Sweet Dreams.
Oh, that's one of the greatest beats of all time, but no.
Yeah. Judas Priest.
I don't know enough. I think I'd have to give them they're probably Hall of Fame in their genre.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, even though that's me letting more people in than I would want. Same with you. Fella Cuddy?
No.
No. Nope. MC5?
Nope.
Nope. New York Dolls?
Nope.
I'm going to say no to that, even though people get really upset at that underground punk rock scene. First-time nominee, this one's a little shocking, Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah, 100%. She wrote two of the greatest songs ever on the same day, like hours apart.
I'm going to go with no, but yes, I agree with
you. No, it has to be.
I'm sticking with no. Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, nailed it. I thought they were going to get in last year. Lionel
Richie. It's ridiculous they didn't. What is it?
Lionel Richie.
Oh, yeah. Party, Caraba, Fiesta. No. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Party. Caraba. I don't know if it's a Caraba, but.
Yeah. He'll be dancing on the ceiling.
Carly Simon.
No. I do like the stuff that Dreams Are Made Of, but no.
Yeah, I agree with you. Tribe Called Quest, also a first-time nominee. All these have been so far, these last three.
Yeah, for what they did. Yeah, I'll give them yeah.
And Dionne Warwick.
I know her more as a psychic. Sorry.
Isn't that weird? Isn't it weird how like just we go like these artists, like Dolly Parton to me is more of like an actress in a weird way, but she like
honestly, we should ask her if she thinks she's going to get it.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about pop culture that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted. Ooh. 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 Get yourself addicted.
Welcome into the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I'm Jason Rossi. Hi, how are you? You can follow along all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. And you can follow along our show here at the Pop Culture PD. That's on Twitter, Pop Culture PD. And when you do, smash that follow button. It'll instantly make you, basically be notified of the 4 tweets we put out a week. And with me, as always, my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He can be followed along on Twitter at BillyYee2411, across all other social media platforms, including the Twitter and other branding places at BillyD2411. 9/11, and since today is Groundhog's Day, Billy's Ding Dong did see its shadow, so we get 6 more weeks of free OnlyFans. He is Billy D. What's going on, man?
Yeah, you gotta subscribe to the free OnlyFans. There's a lot of them out there, and you know it kind of locks you in. And then when I jack up the price, you'll be there. Honestly, Jason, I don't think I've been excited about a podcast like this for a while. It's the year of our Lord 2002, I guess. At the time it was, at least. It's gonna be fun.
This is going to be a good one. Strap in. We will get to it. It is the music of the year 2002. We will be doing our jukebox with a little bit of a – we just kind of refined the rules of the jukeboxes if you have heard them in the past.
I think you might have to go back and do like a quick
reprive.
Recap. Like do all of the ones we've done so far redux in one episode.
Okay. Fair enough. Maybe we got another idea, Bill. I like ideas. Music for this podcast can be found on multiple platforms, but I know they're fine on Spotify.
Yeah, you know what? I think the music video is going to happen soon. And I am proud to say that I am a good friend. You know that. But they are currently on repeat, my number one song, Lower Than You. It's a great, like, again, I think I said this last week. It's a summery vibe in the winter, and we're getting another 7 to 10.
Oof.
So, strap in, the podcast, but yeah.
He's talking about snow, not, you know, what's happening between the sheets. Subscribe over on in review on iTunes. Find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music. You can find us on Ghana if you are the 3 listeners from India. Smooches. Like and subscribe over on YouTube. We're a part of the Facebook group, the Dork Shared Gooniverse, along with hashtag Dork, Mac and Goo, Change My Mind, and various other things that be put on there. Merchandise over at TeePublic. Search Pop Culture Pile Driver. And the podcast nonprofit partner, Frank Says Hi. Normally, we would do these big events. Damn you, COVID. But since 2008, Frank Says Hi has been raising funds for those affected by cancer, from students going to college, giving direct funds to cancer patients at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute for unique experiential events. Check out franksayshi.com if you want to learn more, if you want to donate. We are going to be doing some outdoor fun experiences and events as a big old fundraiser later on in this year.
Is kind of sad because this would be the time of the year pretty much to the day usually when we would do it, right? It's usually like the week before Super Bowl.
It's usually like January 15th, so about like two weeks back. Okay. Yeah, usually around there.
Super Bowl's usually moved up to.
Well, true, extra week, but it's usually, I usually try to base it around my birthday, so it's another excuse for people to come, even though I don't really need one, but it's like, hey, you don't have to worry about ever trying to do anything for me, because this is what we do. Not that the last 10 years we really have to do things for each other.
I'm telling you, the B-Team podcast at Kowloon for the Frank Says Hi would still be a dynamite event.
Bill, there's so many things cooking with that, just so you know. I've been texting with the idea we're going to talk about. We may have talked about it on here. I'm like, we don't have to do the first one live, but I think eventually down the road, this will be one that could really gather some peeps. But anywho, we'll get to all that. It's just a big old tease right there. So Bill, the year was 2002. Me and you were chilling in high school as juniors, going to be seniors. So that was that rollover year, if you will. So 2002 started as juniors, summer. Then had the final few months of being a senior in high school, and we'll take like the snapshot of the year, and we'll play Billy's favorite quiz of what the hell was going on at that time.
I mean, two things to tell you. This was a crazy year for me. Our class song, which we wound up picking in 2003, was from this year. It was Give Me the Light to Give You a Glimpse into Malden High at the time.
Every time I hear this story, it was first told to me by a friend of ours named Anthony, or just our friend Anthony, and I laughed at him because I thought he was kidding me.
Nope.
And every 100%. Time, obviously, I know like probably what, like at least I'm close enough to speak to 13 people from your class or people that were knowledgeable.
Oddly enough, only 3. Most of them were the year behind. But like,
yeah, like
from
at
Malden.
Least knowledgeable of your class. That's what I meant. Maybe like 17 dudes, like we were all like close with there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I came into and I was like, no. And everybody was like, oh, yeah. So wait, only 3. So it's you, Blake, and Anthony?
Okay. So Kevin.
Yeah, I was going to say Kevin. And then
Marco went to MC.
Yeah, I knew
Catholic
that.
School. That doesn't count.
So did I. Not MC, but I went to high school. Yeah. Nobody else. What about there had to be some people back in the day for a little bit? No lingerers?
Nope.
So what happened to the other people you were friends with? Dissipated? From that weren't in your grade. Because
I mean, our guy Johnny moved to LA. And then,
shout out.
That's pretty much it. And then the other thing that happened, got it just under the gun right before you know, it happened on my birthday or close to it. I lost my flower in 2002.
Oh, big to one of these songs. One of these songs, tone setter.
Definitely, it probably happened before the hook of the song, but yeah, maybe.
I didn't ask that part, but now I'm interested. Now we're going to talk about that off air. Okay, so that I did not know. You before I, Bill. I'll just say that. You before mm-hmm. I. I was holding up for that really special one. That's what I'm going to stick with. Okay, so the year again, 2002, Bill. We're going to hit some of like what was going on, and well, not necessarily the world. We'll start sports, Bill. Your favorite. Who won the NBA championship in 2002?
All right, 2002. I remember this was like I can remember vividly watching championship games. This was either the year the Lakers had the old people with like Karl Malone and they lost to the Pistons, or it was the year they won it. I'm going to say the Pistons.
You will be incorrect. It was the Lakers. They beat the Nets that year.
Oh, God damn.
I thought you'd remember that one. That was the Celtics. That was the
Year they came back from
the biggest deficit.
Rodney Rogers, by the way. God bless him. He's having like I think he got paralyzed in like some sort of accident.
Something bad happened to him. I do know that. So big shout out to Rodney Rogers. What a year he had there. Got another big contract after. I think he went to the Nets actually. Mm-hmm. Who won the Stanley Cup in 2002?
I'm going to say New Jersey Devils Trap. I don't know.
That's a great guess. It's incorrect. It would be the Detroit Red Wings.
All right.
To believe that's the last.
That's got to be the last one. Yeah.
Yeah. Because then they've kind of spun. No. Later in the decade, they won a couple with Marian Hossa. Who won the World Series?
The World Series was won by. Was this the last Yankee one of the dynasty? Diamondbacks.
Good guess, Bill. It's completely incorrect. Way to forget about 9/11. This would have been the Los Angeles Angels, the famous when they beat the Giants when Dusty Baker's son almost was killed, but JT Snow saved him.
All right.
Great World Series, by the way. And last but not least, who won the Super Bowl for the season of 2003? That's kind of like a weird way to put
it. The Patriots.
I mean, sorry, 2002. No, the season
of the
season.
So the Super Bowl
2002 was, yes, you're correct in both ways. I'll give you all the bonus points. Shower him.
By the way, again, to date the podcast, did you see that the Washington Reds, whatever, the Commanders put the wrong years on their logo? They put the years that they won the Super Bowl, like date-wise, like when it happened, which is the next year, which like the Patriots didn't win the 2002 Super Bowl, as we just stated. Well, they won the fucking 2001, 2003, 2004.
Well, it's
like,
it's,
you know them.
It's a hard argument because I understand it, but football's always gone by the year of the season, right? Like
yeah,
100%. The 2001 season. So that's a 2001 season championship. So Super Bowl, yes, in the year 2002.
It's crazy.
It is weird. And to be honest, once I heard, like, I saw the Commanders. I love it. I love a lot of the stuff I'm seeing. I like the all-black jersey. It's a nice look. But I will say this, Bill. What is going to be – I didn't see this on Twitter. I was actually listening to Pat McAfee, and they said this. What are we going to call this team? What's the nickname? The Commies? What are you going to call them? The Commies? The Commanders?
The Manders. Like, the Manders.
No, this is – like, in the beginning was about – I was like, oh, that's a cool name. And then, like, actually, it's funny. My wife actually came out and goes, isn't that, like, offensive? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, Commanders. Isn't that going to like just go fall back right in? Like people commanding people and like running their.
Yeah,
I'm
it like, was like the Red what? Hogs was like.
They the were, Hogs! Wolves,
the Red Hogs was Red such a too. Great choice because they had a group in, I believe, the 70s or the 80s that was called the Hogs. Their fans wore like pig
up
stuff.
Up until like the early 2000s. Patrick Ramsey was the quarterback in like 2006 and they had the Hogs. I thought
fine.
That would have been
like that would have been perfect.
They talked about the Red Wolves. I guess that was the name of a tribe. Yeah. Kind of like how there's the Chiefs. But like, that's a kick-ass Red Wolves?
That's cool. But I'm telling you, Hogs, it's associated with offensive line anyways.
Billy loves Hogs.
Why not? Like, fucking, it's embrace the football culture that you already have. You've already decimated one culture. Why not embrace the culture you created? It's a great name. Like, it's funny, and you can just... You're the Hogs. I'm always a fan of names that are short, especially if you're like your city name is Washington, which is already, I think, 10 letters. And then Commanders, I think, is fucking 10 letters. So that's hard to do a graphic with. Yeah.
And how about this? Why don't they just keep the football team?
I love the football team. I was a huge fan, especially when you're the only. It's not like soccer where they have everyone's a club or a football team. You're the only one. I kind of liked it.
Could have kept it. All right, Bill. 2002, they didn't win the Super Bowl. But what was the biggest number one? What's the number one box office hit for the year of 2002?
Oh, my God. 2002. Was it 8 Mile?
No, that movie didn't come out for a few more. I think maybe.
It had to come. I saw it on my high school girlfriend. So.
Oh, we can talk about her later. Same one? Same one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's a twofer. I saw 8 Mile and took the old bleep. The number one box office hit of 2002 was Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
Oh, wow. I did see that with our buddy Kevin. This is like a vivid year. I mean, obviously your junior and senior year will always be. But
I'm starting to think that the junior year might be more better for me.
Better.
Oh, yeah. Highest selling album of 2002. Stick to your last guess.
Oh, Silence Eminem. Eight Mile.
No, it was the
The Without Me. Yeah.
And then I'm just going to let you know. So for the Grammys, this was the sweep. This should have been the year of Bruce Springsteen with The Rising. It wasn't. It should have been. It was one of the greatest albums ever. It was one of the best albums ever made, all due to like post 9/11, brought the damn country together. The man put him on the back, sweating, working 9 to 5. But it was actually the Grammys that were swept by Norah Jones. Album of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Record of the year. Song of the year. Best new artist. First time, probably the only time that will ever happen. Norah Jones won everything. And to be honest, you haven't.
I don't think I could pick her out of a lineup of one.
Mm. That's a weird thing. I liked her later. I had so much resentment towards her in her early career, and then I started to like her. We'll jump in now. So the rules are, as you know, with the Pop Culture Pile Driver, we're all about them rules and sticking to them.
Well, honestly, too, this format that we've created is a format unlike anyone else's. No one else has done anything like this. And then we've taken that format. Not only has nobody ever done it before, but we've made it and improved it.
Bill, we are trendsetters, trailblazers, and goddamn icons. So what we have is the only way songs could be nominated, they had to have been in the top 100 year-end list and the Billboard top 100. So we'll run through a bunch of them, but you can check it out on the wiki. If you're listening to this in audio form, you can see it in our description. You can click the link. We are going to break it into four categories. We're each nominating two songs, correct? Am I right on this? Yes. Two songs. It was weird in our text and I got confused. Two songs per category. So we can talk about a bunch, but then we'll fine tune what's going to fit in what. But
so before we had one poll with four songs from anything running the entire gambit.
Yes.
Now so out of 100, we have pinholed it to four. And what I would say is we should create something where like we can kick, receive or defer. I don't know if anybody's done that before. Which one we start with and who gets to choose. Like, because I feel like I want to kick to you to see which nominations you do for rap so I can clean up with the ones I want, vice versa, rock. So I think we can figure that out as we
done. All right. I like it already. All right. So the top 11 songs in 2002, just to give you a little bit, get these airworms ready. But number 11 was Avril Lavigne, Complicated. Number 10 was Puddle of Mud, Blurry. God, this is like incredible. Number 9 was You Got It Bad from Usher. Number 8, What's Love? Got to do, baby. From Fat Joe and Ashanti. Featuring Ashanti's all over this list, by the way.
This is the turn the fucking mic on, right?
Yes. This is a famous that a lot of people use this in the TikToks.
Well, Katie Delaney of
your sister.
My last name fame, but hopefully no relation. She's kind of cute. But she also writes for Rick and Morty, did one of the greatest TikToks of all time to this.
And people took that like
in
a lot of like you can, you know, mimic those things in reels and stuff. But she was the first one I saw too. Amazing. And like the frustrated face. Anyways. Number 7, In the End, Linkin Park. 6 was 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton. Number 5, Everywhere You Go from The Calling. My God, my heart. Dilemma, number 4 from Nelly with Kelly Rowland. What a tune. Nelly coming in number 3 as well with Hot and Her. Number 2 was Foolish by Ashanti, which absolutely made me shocked.
Ain't that funny?
Yeah. Ain't that funny? Ashanti, what an artist. And number 1, what a jam, How You Remind Me by the most ridiculously critiqued band of all time, Nickelback.
I mean, I think we can just say that'll be in one of our lists.
You know what's funny? I almost 100%. Wondered if we should create the rule where like those tops can't be in there. But now that we've before, when we did
because we had ones that didn't make it before.
100%. No, you're right. You're right. So anywho, I'm just going to give you a couple, Bill, that came when I was looking at this list. First song, I'm going to go where it's like off the board. I'm sure you weren't necessarily a fan of this band, maybe, or maybe you don't even really remember this song that much. But I remember owning their first four albums. They were only popular for a small amount of time. Canadian rock band, Default. They came in at number 26 with Wasting My Time. Holy cow. I hear this guy's voice. I actually had to listen to it like the other day. And I just like, it brings me back. And I'm going to be honest. I get emotional listening to this music. I don't know what it was. Not just Default. But like most of these bands, like this was such a time for me. Like I remember being on the phone with friends, listening to music, having people over, like having them discover my music taste a little bit more. Because this is that time in high school where you really started to niche it out. Like I was kind of like rolling with the punches those first 2 years. This is the year I was like, okay, this is who I am. This is what I own. Like, obviously I talk about Francis Hylop, but me and Frank listen to a ton of this music. Like this is like just, but like Default, there's something about that band that I just gravitated towards, absolutely loved. And it's just one of those ones I had to mention because we're not going to go deep into them, but just what a jam this song was.
Yeah. Cause I remember a time, it was probably earlier than this, but I borrowed my friend Anthony's Disturbed CD in a trade-off and he borrowed Sugar Ray from me.
Oh, did you return it? Did you
no, return it? No, gone definitely forever. Not. But I think probably that was the days of Burning, so we had it. But also, this was the year, as I mentioned in the little video I made, it was the year of Nelly, both the Canadian pop star and the Southern rapper. And it also had a year where you had two songs called Hero, one by Chad Kroeger and one by Enrique. And it was also a big Enrique year.
First of all, don't hate on Josie Scott and forget his name.
Oh, well, okay. Fair. Very fair.
Thank you. But yeah, dude, that for just so you know, like, I don't know where I'm going to fit these things because this is how I got long lists.
Oh, yeah.
But both those Hero songs are like all timers to me. Hero, we've talked about Hero from the Spider-Man soundtrack. Like, why they didn't include that again in this movie. I told you, just walking by anything. I said this about Scream. I wanted What If from Creed in there. Also a pretty big year for Creed, My Sacrifice. Oh, yeah. I already forget the other song that they had. Creed had One Last Breath, but you're right. Enrique, just to go back to him for a moment, what a splash of a year. Just incredible. Like,
he dated, who was...
married to now, Anna Kournikova.
Oh, I remember thinking, like, this guy has it all.
Dude, he had Jennifer Love Hewitt in the Hero video. Escape, I'm pretty sure he had Anna Kournikova in the video. Mm-hmm. The man had it all, and 2002 was this best year, you thought, and then he had a big revival about a decade later.
Yeah, almost. We have a round when we draft live and have a DJ for our fantasy group called the Enrique round.
Yes, it's usually amazing. Around 8, and we do shots. Or is that two separate rounds? I always forget.
The DMX round, we do shots.
Oh, DMX round, that's right, yeah. So, but the Enrique round.
Yeah, this was also the year of Ja Rule as fully selling out, no longer trying to be like DMX, just doing, you know, the ain't that funny. But also, we get Kelly Clarkson, not one of my favorite songs by her of all time, but kind of her introduction, A Moment Like This.
It's her winning American Idol winning song. Mm-hmm. She was the first American Idol. It happened this year. A Moment Like This, written by, I forget now, a pretty famous, I think the woman who became a host on the show or a judge later, Kara
Paul Abdul.
Yes, Paul Abdul wrote this. Just an amazing, just like triumphant victory. And this song was everywhere because it was one of the most popular shows of the time.
And when we do 2004, I mean, that's when she had the biggest hit ever since you've been gone. But this was a nice introduction to the woman who now has the second worst talk show they play at my gym.
Second worst talk show at my gym. That's a good genre.
Yeah, I think you have to know who is the worst.
If I had to guess who is the worst, I'm guessing Drew Barrymore.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's so weird because, you know, when you go to the gym, there's either talk shows, but in the NBA season, sometimes you also, like, I haven't seen it recently, so I don't know if it was replaced or they're just better about switching the channels because TNT always played NBA, so they'd put that on at night. So in the morning, you'd have Charmed on the TV, which was always kind of nice on the treadmill.
I like it. This is also a weird year. I think this was the year that I stopped really liking, not that I was ever a huge fan of No Doubt, but they had some crap this year.
Hey, baby.
This is the hella good Hey Baby and Underneath It All, just except for Lady Slaw.
Underneath It All is kind of good, though.
Yeah, shout out to Lady Slaw. I feel like she gets no love. Mm. But I'll be honest, I just didn't like this sound for No Doubt. And this correlates later when No Doubt went on a tour with Paramore, and I actually got to interview Paramore, and I told them how I was scared what their music was going to start to sound like, because if when you're with No Doubt, No Doubt did, there was a certain genre for like 10 years, not even like 5 years, and then they turned into like that more very commercially pop. And I remember talking to Hayley Williams of Paramore, and she's like, and I complimented that they didn't do that. Little about 3 years later, they did, but nonetheless, still put out jams. Love Paramore, but not a year that I was very much like. Obviously, all these songs are earworms to you, but like not songs I was really like thoroughly impressed or excited about.
By the way, quick rant: like Olivia Rodrigo gets accused of stealing Paramore's sound.
F that.
They stole Damone's sound. If you want to like backtrack, in anyways.
No, a little side rant on your side rant, Bill. Enough, everybody. We're in almost 70-something years into mass-populated music. Things are going to sound like things. Like Coldplay got sued by Joe Satriani. Like, bullcrap. And you don't think at the end of the day, why is the band, it's producers.
Marvin Gaye Robin Thicke.
Robin Thicke, yeah. That guy went to hell in a handbasket after that. But, like, honestly, it's just, like, enough. Like, if things are going to sound like each other, and guess what? Just because your song was popular 40 years ago... Mm-hmm. I get it. You just want a little bit of money. Just ask for the little bit of money. Let's not get class action lawsuits. I'm sure this is what they wanted in the beginning, but I think once it gets popularized out there, like don't put crap on Olivia Rodrigo. She doesn't mix the song. She sings the damn thing. You think she's in the booth being like, oh, I want this beat like that Paramore song. No, that's not how it works. God damn it. Anywho, Bill, you know what else is funny? You mentioned the two hero songs. This is also the year we got two songs by P. Diddy with different artists being featured in two different song titles, both technically called, though, I Need a Girl.
Oh, yes. We
had one and two. Part one, part two. I'm pretty sure part one is the very popular one, and then part two is like the, that's out there kind of one.
No, they're both pretty popular.
They're both top 20 hits. Top 20 hits of the year.
I will say, go listen to the 50 Cent version of I Need a Girl, because it's unreal. He had a lot of those mixtape type of things back in the day too. We also get in this year Mr. Cheeks, Lights, Camera, Action. One of my favorite songs, dude, by a member of the Lost Boys, which you don't hear from often.
No,
besides the song Renee.
What an absolute jam this is. Literally, the beat of this, you could just listen to this and like do most things. I still to this day will sometimes, like when I'm just listening, like that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and then it's Lights, Camera, Action, Sorry, Miss Jackson.
Oh, unreal.
It's just the flow of it. Funny story about Mr. Cheeks. Showcase Live, if you remember that venue. Well, I don't know what it is. I think it's like a e-game place now in Foxborough. So me and Mattu, a friend of the pod, who and I send him a clip and tell him to listen, which will be one of this right here. There was Celtic Women. We're going to play Showcase Live. It said Celtic Women, which is, I'm assuming, some sort of like Irish band thing with Mr. Cheeks. So we said we have to buy these tickets. So I remember calling the place like, excuse me, is Mr. Cheeks still coming to play this place? Like, and like on, like when you call them, like, yes, yes. And then eventually it was like a month later, this, most concerts are planned out months ahead. It said like Celtic Women in Mr. Cheeks. And then it said Mr. Cheeks had canceled or something. So I don't know what actually happened. And we knew people that worked there. And like, when we brought it up, it was like, they didn't know what the hell we were talking about. So I don't know where that all came from, but that's how I always remember Mr. Cheeks. This is obviously years later. This had to be in like 2010.
It could have been like the Green Day situation where they spell it like Irishy and they're just like a brogue band. Or I remember one time the whole city of Lynn got duped because there was an artist called Wyclef Jean but he wasn't, gone till November. Like, perfect gentleman, Wyclef Jean.
That must have been really pumped when he came on stage. It's like some like white guy, middle-aged.
But yeah, like Mr. Cheeks is kind of like Praz from the Fugees. Like, you don't really know any of the Lost Boys, but you definitely didn't know Praz either.
No.
Who had the song from Bullworth. Yeah.
No, that song's a jam too.
Oh, yeah.
Ghetto Superstar. This also, Bill, a couple other things that jumped out to me. Big year for Usher. We mentioned that you got it bad at number 9, number 16. You Don't Have to Call. What a tune that is.
And they kind of snubbed the remix with Ludacris, who was huge.
Good point.
Like that, like you can't even find, like, I think Usher is kind of a dick because I'm sure he took away because it's not on Spotify. You have to go to YouTube to listen to the version with Ludacris, which is the way better version. Because I think he probably gets like if you stream the Ludacris version, you would have got more, like the profits would have been split or something. So this was a year of good remixes. I have another remix on my list, but that I would go with the, always go with the remix version. Go to YouTube if you have to. Way better.
Okay, good to know.
But also, that was my song when I was getting ready in junior high that I would listen to in the bathroom.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So that was like that's what Usher is doing in the video.
Back, little Axe body spray going. We have to just mention this guy. There's a couple other like options, but we mentioned Eminem with the highest selling album. Without Me, Cleaning Out My Closet, Lose Yourself.
Yeah, holy big cow. Year.
But huge. Yeah, so I'm guessing you're right. 8 Mile must have came out in 2003. The movie, because Lose Yourself, or maybe it was this year. It just wasn't like that big of a.
It might have been like January. Let's look it up.
Yeah, check that out. Also, I have to mention this one too. Obviously, we'll get right back to Eminem, but yeah. So it must. But you have to remember, it wasn't like a huge movie. It was for our people.
For us, it was gigantic. Yes.
Oh, I actually saw it in the theater like the weekend it came out. I was never a huge Eminem fan, but I always appreciated Eminem. Like, and obviously, listened to him a ton while playing GTA. He was like our go-to GTA guy. Playing like I don't even know what songs at this point, but
November 6, 2002.
Okay,
probably started after a shift at Dunkin' Donuts.
Nice. Two ones that stood out to me. I'll just let you know. Obviously, maybe you will. You have DJ Sammy Bill with Heaven.
Baby, You're All That I Need.
This was gigantic for us. This was like junior prom. This is amazingly massive song. We can get more into it if you want. And then the other one to me that stood out was Dirty Vegas with Days Go By.
Mm-hmm.
Just that like, Euro.
DJ Sammy, I think, stands the test of time. You could play this anytime, anywhere, any party. People will be like, all right, I like this.
I think of our like late 30s people at this point. I don't think anybody in their mid-20s is hearing that song and doing anything. They're like,
if there's a Guardians made in 20 years from now, you can put DJ Sammy in it.
I like that. A couple other ones that jumped out to me, Bill, on this. Kylie Minogue with her revival here too. Holy phenomenal. Cow. What a tune. Like, honestly, just smashing out of the park with you. Can't Get You Out of My Head. You also had Daniel Bedingfield, more famous sister. This song had a crazy beat as well. I've Got to Get Through This. Good jam. Another one that jumped out to me when I was just kind of skimming the list. I saw Five for Fighting Bill, Superman. You might not like the song that much, but another just huge song at the time. That was a piano ballad.
Yeah. And posthumously, a lot of people say posthumously because they're stupid.
Dead.
Including somebody I worked with who's a Yale graduate. But Aaliyah had two hits this year, and she is my niece's namesake. So I just figured I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, Rock the Boat, More Than a Woman, than a Woman. And this was like people didn't see this coming, but this was the stuff she had recorded before the tragic accident, right before 9/11. I'm just trying to think of any others here. Now, there's a bunch I want to mention, but they're basically songs I'm debating on putting in.
Yeah.
Do we want to start that conversation?
I mean, you just go through. I'm not going to put in Justin Timberlake, but this was, I think, he didn't get big. I thought his big year was 2003. I could be wrong. But
this was his first year of like solo music.
The release happened, but I don't think his big songs came out until the next year.
No. So this was, is it Rock Your Body?
I Love You. Yeah. I think they picked the wrong single to release first.
True. Also, another one I'm not going to put in, but also this is the debut of John Mayer. No Such Thing came out. One of the only songs he had as a top charter that he didn't write. He did not write that song.
Oh, all right. So I wasn't going to put it in either. It was going to be one of my big honorable mentions, but this is like the run through your halls of your high school. This is like my introduction to him.
Oh, it was his introduction to us. So this was a massive song though. And I remember this, my sister's still a huge John Mayer fan. Talk about a guy that's been all over the map for the last crazy thing, 20 years. By the way, 20 years ago. That's why another reason we're doing this. All right. I liked what you said to start, Bill. Do you want me to start with two noms for hip hop?
Is that how you want me to go?
Okay. So I'm having a hard time, but I'm going to be honest.
That's also these songs, Run DMC song.
These songs jump out to me. First one I'm going to put in for the nomination for the Hip Hop 2002 Jukebox from Pop Culture Pile Driver is Ludacris Rollout.
Oh, okay.
This is a massive song to me. So my buddies at the time, I hung out with four guys like every weekend. Sometimes more, but it was me, Pat, a friend of the pod, my buddy Jay Guido, who you know, is in my wedding, and my buddy Sean Mullet. Don't really talk to me anymore. We still have a text, a group text that gets this. But every time rollout would start, we used to do this weird thing in a Bradley's parking lot in Chelsea. I think it's a Home Depot now. And we used to
love Bradley's.
It was my buddy Jay had his car. He had a car from his parents first. Like, I had my license first, like you probably did.
I had a car.
But I didn't have a car at the time. So he did. So we used to have a Cutlass, I believe it was. And we used to spin, like do whatever, the peel out in that parking lot all the time. We go eat junk food, all the crap. But this song became like a big thing with us and our friends. So every time you hit play, it basically, as soon as you hit play, it goes, bump, bump, bump. So we used to say this line, Bill. I missed the bumps. I don't know why we called it the bumps, but we used to say that all the time. Like, I missed the bumps. So we had to play it back. We probably played this song and on the burnt CD 700 times a weekend because we just keep replaying. So to me, this song stuck in my heart and it's just a kick-ass tune
from
a kick-ass artist. So I will nominate Rollout from Ludacris.
Ludacris would land in my top 10 rappers of all time.
Definitely.
And this is one of the best albums he's ever made. And I always played this because we were nostalgic at an early age, even though I don't think it was that nostalgic, but we would play N64 Mario Kart all the time listening to this album in my room.
Yeah, and a perfect song to that. I'm not nominating it, but the other song he had this year, just so people aware, was Move Bitch.
Move Bitch.
Which, what a tune. Rollout, by the way, is called My Business, which is another thing. My business, my business. Business.
All right, so nominate one more, and then I'll fill out the category.
All right, so I'm having it. This is where it gets really hard, because I got like 5 songs written down here. So,
did we tell people we're going to nominate 4 in each of these categories,
and
each of them will be a poll?
Yes. So I'm having a hard time. I really am, because obviously these, whatever I don't nominate, I'll just move into miscellaneous potentially, but we'll talk about that at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I had Lights, Camera, Action written down, but I'm going to pivot because I really like, that's like, I'm going to pivot off though. We haven't talked about most of these songs, and I believe you might get mad because this could go pop or hip hop, but I'm going to go with the way I actually really believe. The song that I think is one of the biggest hip hop songs of that year, I'm going to go with Still Fly from the Big Timers.
Oh. This would have been my number one with the bullet. Assumed.
So, okay. I was almost going to stay away from it because I thought you had it. But then I'm like, if you don't, I need it to be on here. It's a hell of a song. Big Timers were literally big timing at the time. So, yeah, Still Fly. What a jam.
Oh, Manny Fresh, Baby. I actually know a guy who worked with Baby one time. And he said that when he did, Baby had a guy in his crew who came up with a box. And he was like, Cookie. Guy opened the box, cookie in it. Baby took it out, took a bite, put it back in.
Hey.
Story I have. But like this song is synonymous with my 1989 Blue Dodge Aries on the way to golf practice. I would play like this. Y'all Can't Deny It by Fabulous. But this song, I think if anybody besides like an Afro Man song, if like you like were to ask like after I passed away, what was one of Billy's favorite songs? They would say, Big Timers, Still Fly, got a corner to take a gas, and my new E-Class. This is one of the greatest songs in the history of my life. They also have a new one that I found out about recently due to Peloton. This Is How We Do. Similar feel, not as good, but this is just, they called it game spinning. They don't call it rapping, technically. The genre of rap they claim is game spinning, because that's all they do. And I love this song. Great beat. Manny Fresh made almost all of his own beats from like scratch. Got to respect that. So I will fill it out. And this is really tough here. I'll put my honorable mention here. I'm not going to go with Oh Boy by Cameron. Shout out to Jimmy Holland, one of our buddies, one of his favorite songs. But the other two that I will put in here is Lose Yourself by Eminem. Because, you know, if you had one shot, one moment, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one chance, would you capture it or would you let it slip? Like the great, one of the greatest gym songs of all time.
It's one of the greatest songs, though. It's such a great amp you up for anything. Like you're about to go into a work meeting and you really know, or you're about to go into an interview. Like
there's no Mekhi Phifer. This is real life.
it's and that's the thing I think that's great about this song. It bends like weird. Like that's such a weird line, but it makes sense for the movie. But like listening to it now, you're like, what is that? But like if you know, you know. And it's like, this is real. This is what happened. And this guy, Eminem, is such a great storyteller within his music. And I think this song does get better. And this is the song that like your dad might not give a crap about Eminem. He knows the song and the song still gives him a little
hell
little,
yeah. This is gist. One of the most generational. It'll be used in montages in sports like any other song from 50 years ago. This is one of the best ones of all time. Had to have it in there. And then, of course, I'm just kidding like Jason. Unless you're going to do it. One of the worst lines of all time, but Nelly Hot and Her. Nelly owned from like 99 to like 2004. And I'm not going to nominate Dilemma, but there was a great meme going around where I think – who's the girl from I think she's prettier than Beyonce. What's her name? From
Kelly Rowland?
Kelly Rowland, where she got mad that Nelly didn't text her back on Microsoft Excel because they were pretending that was text messaging. Hilarious.
Amazing.
But hot in here. So I think that is a solid list right there.
Yeah, so again, so for the hip-hop category, it'll be Still Fly from the Big Timers, Roll Out Ludacris, Lose Yourself by Eminem, and Hot and Her from Nelly. Next category, Bill, let's go to pop. Do you want to start with your two?
I will start with my two because I don't think you would have them otherwise.
Well, let's see. Because I got one I think definitely needs – this is so hard. This year sucks because I have so many songs I love.
So this was – like a big thing in my high school days because we made up a song about a certain girl to this song. I won't go into it. But
is it complimentary or is it mean?
It's mean. Craig David, 7 Days. I know every single solitary word to this song. Like, and I haven't heard it probably besides like a few seconds shuffling around in my car to know like, oh, this was the year. This song is phenomenal. One time my sister played this song probably 45 times in a day. And I was influenced heavily by my sister's music taste. This song is fantastic.
Well, you were forced in this case. But this song is like the sequel to Brian McKnight, Back at One. I don't know why it always reminded me of that, because he like kind of tells the story and then it kind of like starts over. Okay. Do you want to ping back and forth on this one? Are you worried? Do you want me to throw one in? Or you got your other one?
You go for it.
Okay. I have to just go with the highest ranking one because this has to be on there.
Yeah.
Avril Lavigne, Complicated.
For
me.
Really?
No, I didn't go that route.
Oh.
Highest ranking for me. So I don't usually go with the super high ones because they're going to be remember names, in my opinion. You do you. But Complicated from Avril Lavigne, ginormous song. She was like the next big thing for the longest time. 17-year-old out of Canada. A lot of Canadian love here in this year. But Complicated like literally was like I don't know what I was. We were what? Like 17, 18-year-old?
Yeah, it made you frustrated.
Boys. And I loved it. This song, I remember like downloading the music video on whatever stupid site. Like it was just
LimeWire.
Amazing. I don't know if I had LimeWire at the time. I had some odd ones. A lot of bad things. But yeah, I just think this song, it had it all. Avril Lavigne was amazing. Like what a start of a career. Like a rocker too. Like a rocker chick. Like there was a lot of like rock and roll at this time or like alternative rock. But like there wasn't a lot of like females kicking ass like this, and especially the ones like I mentioned, No Doubt, kind of changing their tone. You had Sheryl Crow, who was like a 90s icon, coming out with like Soak Up the Sun and talking about sunshine and lollipops, like just changing things, where someone like this came in gritty, hungry, young, and I loved it. So Complicated, Avril Lavigne.
All right, can I kick one more time to you? Defer it one more time.
Are you're nervous about what I'm going to put in?
I am.
So I'm going to probably this is going to make it so hard for my miscellaneous. You're not going to put this. I was almost going to put Jules, Standing Still.
No, no way.
I love that song. And it reminds me of a scene from Smallville at the time, which was my favorite show at the time. Mm-hmm. Just amazing. And I just like, it reminds me of having a crush on people in high school, but not going to put that. I'm going to go with Michelle Branch, All You Want.
Oh,
this song kicks ass. Michelle Branch. So I had a big female, like what a lot of people got from that 90s click, like the Lilith Fairs world. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is what at least for me, like I started to love all these, including Shakira, who I didn't put in here. But like, I love the women of this era. Like these, I saw Michelle Branch open, I put in quotations, for the Goo Goo Dolls once. And I almost left before the Goo Goo Dolls. I was so like exhausted from screaming. It was a hot night. I was sweating. It was awesome. She is so damn talented too. And again, just a very interesting look. She was on what was like the weird like music? Oh, Blender. Loved Blender. It was my favorite magazine. It was like sometimes we try to be like sexualize these artists, and she was had like a shoot, and I was like almost uncomfortable looking at it. I was like, no, you're not supposed to be like this. You're supposed to just be like tank top, jeans, and a guitar. Sing to me, baby. But love Michelle Branch. And this song, literally, I hear the opening chords, and it already like it just like it takes me to a place I don't want to be anymore emotionally.
All right, so can't go wrong with me. I stan women's pop. I toyed with that for a little bit. And another thing, I was dumb. I don't really have anybody to go with, but I might need you to score me Dua Lipa tickets. I know I've asked for Mike.
No, I'll go with this.
All right, then we'll go in.
I think we should all go. We'll have a podcast outing.
We're going. Love Dua Lipa. But in that vein, I'm going to go with one of the greatest pianos of all time. I thought she was a one-hit wonder when I picked her. Technically, I was incorrect, but I'm going to go with Vanessa Carlton and one of the greatest scenes in a movie of all time with Terry Crews and White Chicks, 1,000 Miles Away. This song kicks freaking ass. It's amazing.
Honestly, and I didn't even mention her because I didn't know if you were going to hear a Nickelback, but right there at the same time, like, you have Michelle Branch, you have Vanessa Carlton, there's Avril Lavigne, there's, like I said, Shakira. It's different, but it's still like this women's, like, singer-songwriter. I know Shakira comes across way more as a pop star, like, when you think about her, but if you actually listen to that first album, it's just all over the place with, like, singer-songwriter stuff, multiple languages. She's really great. But Vanessa Carlton, you can't go wrong. Absolutely iconic song. Out of all the songs here, like, that's the one that comes on that everyone's gonna, like, at the bar sing.
Make my way, like, downtown.
Like, literally everyone would sing. It's complicated to a degree. All I Want, people would know it. Not, but like, 1,000 Miles, there's literally, like, chicks standing on top of the table screaming. Like, that's a karaoke song. Yeah. Well, there's your next wife. So that will be it for the pop. So we went with Craig David, 7 Days, which this is the most random. Complicated, Avril Lavigne, All I Wanted from Michelle Branch, 1,000 Miles from Vanessa Carlton. Rock alternative, Bill.
I mean, I could just put in How You Remind Me, Nickelback.
Putting it there. All right. There we go.
Has to be.
Let's just for a second. I don't care what you think of Nickelback in 2022. I don't care what you thought about the last decade. When it was 2002, this song was awesome. This song was everything.
Still awesome.
Oh, I agree. No, I agree. The song's great. I still think the band, like, this, yeah, they've had ebbs and flows, but what band hasn't? But this specifically, this song was kick. Like, this is so 90s. That's the other thing about this year. Like, has that, like, lasting impression of what 90s kind of, like, a rock alternative was. And I thought Nickelback, like, honestly, if Nickelback was able to be popular in, like, 98, this would be a whole different conversation about them.
The best top 5 car song to come on to sing to.
That's this song. I do not know if I back that. But,
like, this song comes on in the car and you don't scream, "This is how you remind me." Like, I question who you are as a person.
Well, it's really as soon as it gets about, "In an honest different story, this is how you remember." Yeah, it's a great tune. Great tune.
Phenomenal.
Do you want to go with your other one?
Cause we can pong back and forth on this one.
Okay.
Cause so I know you're getting, I know.
With a bullet. Like, it's not even a joke. This song changed my goddamn life, Bill. Actually heard of them about 2-3 years before this, when, because I loved FNX. So Lucky Denver Mint was their first kind of, like, tester single for an album, Clarity, which is their best album. I'm going with The Middle by Jimmy Eat World. Not only is it an iconic song, an all-timer, Close Up My Wedding, all the popular, most important things. Cool video. And, like, define also this time, we haven't even brought this up. This is the MTV 2 era, if you remember, where it was just, like, the actual channel that had, like, Control Music. Freak. And, like, music, yeah, like, there was that, like, there's two videos on the side. Which one's going to come in? You had to, like, vote on MTV2.com. And I remember Jimmy World, The Middle, always won because there was a lot of sexy ladies in their underpants. I thought I was going to underwear parties a lot when I saw this video. Never have been. Never want to. Unless I'm creepy and older. Who knows what parents do.
This reminded me of the, remember when they came out with, like, Project X? I was like, oh, it's Jimmy World music video.
Honestly. But The Middle is literally maybe the greatest, like, when you're stuck in something, you're trying to break through a wall, you're trying to think of something, you need this song. This song literally pushes you. Yes, he calls you a little girl in the middle of it, but I will take it. And it because it's true. And I love this song. I love this band. I could go on literally for the rest of this podcast just about Jimmy World, how they make me feel. Won't do that. Just say The Middle. Maybe the best pop alternative song of, like, the 2000s, like, that decade. That decade, not forever, but, like, that song is just so perfect. It's rock.
For pop, yeah, because I would probably put some White Stripes songs in there for, like, straight up alternative, but pop alternative for sure. And, like, this is one of those bands where, like, I could tell them, like, and I think they'd be fine with it. You open with this, you close with Sweetness. Just do it.
Which is funny, Bill, because I've seen them so many times. I've never seen them open or close with either one of those. Well, one time they ended with Sweetness.
Maybe when they're, like, 10 years from now.
But, you know, they, like, literally 60. They were, like, you know, they're just awesome. I love them. And they're touring with Dashboard Confessional right now. So what would be your next rock alternative?
Okay, so I think you got to go Linkin Park in the end.
Okay.
I think you just have to have it on this list. It'll probably win it, unfortunately. Not even unfortunately.
I'll screw the voting.
Yeah, we could try.
And these then are heavy hitters right now.
Yeah, we had Chalk pretty much here. Yeah. So I think I had almost everyone that I don't know what you have next, but
oh, it's hard. Two of my favorite bands. Well, one of my all-time favorite bands, and then a band I just loved for a long time. But I will just say about in the end, like another just amazing song. Reminds me of playing Madden at the time. Me and Pat used to play a ton of Madden. This was always his like song to go to when he needed a drive.
This was one of the big crossover alt hits too, because I think everyone, no matter who you were, related to this song in that time. If you were 13 to like 26, 46 at this time, you felt this song.
Linkin Park was known. This took them to the next level. Mm-hmm. To wrap up this category, I have to go with this. I'm going to go with Creed, My Sacrifice. I was toying with Blurry by Puddle of Mud because I love Great Puddle song. Of Mud. And I was also thinking of One Last Breath, but My Sacrifice, here's the reason why. It was all over WWE programming. It was always the song they played when they showed all the craziest like moves from like Jeff Hardy, Edge, table spots. You saw like Stone Cold, like don't do this at home. It was one of the greatest packages, the WWF, WWE now. We talked about it all the time. Nobody does better production than them.
This I steal song, everything from them. All the
it's
time.
They just do such a great job. So My Sacrifice from Creed will wrap up the Rock Alternative, which also includes Linkin Park in the end, The Middle from Jimmy Eat World, and How You Remind Me from Nickelback. Now we go into Miscellaneous, which means anything.
Yeah, which is crazy to think about because before we nominated 4 songs out of 100, and now we have a spillover category.
Yeah, well, that's Billy. We're growing. So let's ping back and forth on this one. What do you got, Bill? You want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
I think I gotta go because I think you mentioned it earlier and it was one of the few ones we mentioned that we're gonna nominate, or at least I'm gonna nominate Heaven, DJ Sammy.
Now, okay, so I thought you might have put. I was when you didn't put it in pop, I started to think.
Phenomenal. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
It's so us at that time. Literally, like I said, this is junior prom. Even it rolled into our senior prom, by the way. This song didn't die off in the year. This song kept going.
Well, no, because depending on when it came out, it could have only been out for a little, but it was pretty high up the charts. But even still, like this song, it resonates like throughout, not even high school, but like into, because like this was the first song you heard played at like clubs too. This was all over the place for the majority of my 20s.
Well, Bryan Adams, he's probably like cashing in big time from this. I'm trying to see when this song came out technically. By the way, the Bryan Adams version was absolutely huge in 1983. So I think it actually, DJ Sammy, 2001. So this thing just had lingering, you know, it was popular for a long time. So, but it hit the charts again, obviously, in 2002. That's why it's here. So my first one is going to be Hero, Bill, from Chad Kroeger and Josie Scott.
Ah. Oh. Our worst nomination. It's a good song, but
how dare you? This song is kick ass. I love this song and it means a lot to me and I want it on here. So it's on here.
All right. So I'm going to get my, get your honorable mentions out here, I would say, because I'm not going to nominate this one, but Hey Ma, I think I said that before.
Oh, nothing here too.
Nothing by Nori. What you trying to
nice.
Do? Nothing. What? He is fantastic. He has a song Stupid with song. Nina Sky as well. Phenomenal.
Forgotten band.
Then I'm down to 2. It's gun to your head situation, but I have to give the respect to one of the greatest beats of all time. So I'll go first to Girlfriend again, Nelly with NSYNC.
So that's going on.
No.
It's not. So I had it as one of my nominees as well. Did not make it, but I might could save it. Oh,
would
dude.
Be my girl?
The beat alone. And then the whole package from JC Chazé, the best voice in NSYNC. Justin Timberlake, when he comes in, ever since I saw your face, nothing in the road, this whole place. Like, this is just so good. I love how I sing random parts of songs. And
yeah, so, like, you always do, like, the falsetto guy is the guy who kind of sets it up or follows it up, but JC Chazé sends you home. Like, he is
amazing. I wanted him to be, like, still in our world for, like, another 10 years. And
he took his money, and he's happy, I'm sure.
I hope he is.
But I will go with one of the greatest beats by Dr. Dre of all time. One of the greatest pop songs, rap songs, hip-hop, R&B, whatever you want to call it. Family Affair by one of the great pop stars, R&B stars. It doesn't get, I think, enough credit, but she's going to be on the Super Bowl. Mary J. Blige. This song.
Percolating.
Phenomenal.
Mary J. Blige. Yeah, this is great stuff. And Mary J. Blige is one of those artists that, like, my oldest sister, the first out of the three of us, she was big into her in like the late 80s, like when like Mariah Carey, like I remember those albums. And So like, it's just so funny that like in 2002 she was popular. Now in 2022 she's going to be playing the freaking Super Bowl halftime show. It's pretty damn amazing. What a career.
Was it you or Zach who was with me at the Morningwood show where they did a cover of this?
It was me. Clearly me, Bill. I went to all those morning shows with you.
All right. Well, maybe Zach was there too then. But
he might have been.
Or it was Joe. One of the best. Like, I remember the guitar player did like a backflip with his guitar on during it too.
Amazing. Amazing.
They were phenomenal.
I just miss bands like that. I miss going to shows and meeting like bands that are like so under the radar and like the bigger world that just like put on kick-ass shows for 50 minutes. Okay. So again, you put in Family Affair, Heaven. I put Chad Kroeger, Josie Scott. So here's all the ones I'm not going to put. I'm going to fight myself at the very end. Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne. I'm not putting two Avril songs, but
yeah,
that song's freaking amazing. I had Hey Ma. I had Girlfriend. One Last Breath. I talked about these. I had Standing Still. I talked about Kylie Minogue. All right. So I either go with like the funny way of doing this or another band, like another serious one that I loved, but it's miscellaneous. So maybe I go this route. I'm going to kick it. I was going to go both hero songs, Enrique and in Chad Kroeger. That was my joke the whole time. Kicking it away. I'm going with Outkast, With the Whole World, because.
Oh, and Killer Mike.
And Killer Mike. Big ups to Killer Mike, who's like out there like defending, you know, the
everything. The brand. He's the man.
For the culture. He's for the culture. And this song is never talked about when it comes to Outkast, but this specifically, we had a winter formal or whatever it was in like senior year. So the later portion of 2002. And I remember just bumping to this song. This song was like kick ass. And it's such like, it doesn't get any credit because I don't think it officially landed on an official Outkast album as we.
I think it was technically on like a collaboration CD, like the Dr. Dre Presents Big Boy and Outkast CD. And this fell into there. And it was before, obviously, I believe Speaker Box and Love Below, which came out in like 2003, 2004. So, but, you know, Killer Mike, Catch a Beat Running like Randy Moss at the time. Phenomenal lyric. Great. It's like the music video is great. And obviously Outkast was already at that next crazy inventive level. But this even then was like still kind of innovative because it was just such an odd song, music video, the beat, everything about this song.
And
as an Outkast fan, I probably should have nominated it somewhere, but I'm glad you put it on because this is
on my hip hop list.
Very unique. It's a very,
very unique and totally forgotten, I think, by a lot of people. When you think of Outkast, you never hear people talking about Outkast with Killer Mike. The Whole World came in at number 74 that year. So
and a great start where he's just like, okay.
Yeah. The miscellaneous category, Heaven, DJ Sammy, Hero, Chad Kroeger, Josie Scott, Family Affair for Mary J. Blige, and Outkast, The Whole World. We will put the four categories and the four options out over on the Twitter at PopCulturePD. Make sure you get over there to vote. We'll pass it around. Maybe we'll send some emails out to some of our folks to make sure they get their voices heard. And we will make sure whatever we want to win best. 2002, Bill. One of the best years of our lives and one of the best years of music in our lives. Maybe some people feel differently, but this was a very important year of music to us.
Indeed.
Bill, you won $350 freaking dollars for drawing the number 30 in the WWE's Men's Royal Rumble. Brock Lesnar came out, tossed everybody out. Cha-ching to you.
And once he lost, everyone and their mother was like, he's winning. And I was like, you know what he is? And he's going to come out 30. I was like, I can plan on this 350. I bought some nice, what are they called? Like a table for easy? Behind. No, I've stopped that. A table for behind my couch. Like one of those things.
So I have like stuff behind. Yeah, nice, classy.
So that's you're nice. Have love pack. That. I did love the Royal Rumble. I know I've had multiple text chains going back and forth with people. I thought, you know, Brock Lesnar, I hate the fact that he's a part-timer, two part-timers, one, both Rumbles, but I loved both Rumbles. I did.
I thought the men's Rumble was horse manure, but I thought the women's Rumble was fantastic.
It was great.
I thought the Rollins Reigns match was absolutely everything I could have asked for. Those two are just like, give me more of that. Outside of that, like I thought the Edge in Beth Phoenix and Miz Maurice, that was just fun. Like a good like house show match kind of thing. Yeah, the men's Rumble was a mess. And Bill, due to it being a mess, I wasn't alone. Like I'm pretty easy to please as a wrestling fan. There was really no stories in there though.
I didn't care. I mean, I hadn't watched wrestling in a full year. I was happy with it. Mainly, I think, because I won $350.
Yeah, that's always going to help. Also, shout out to Dr. Joe, then Pineapple Boys cashing in together because Joe had the Ronda Rousey pull at 28. But the one thing about the Royal Rumble, Bill, that does need to be mentioned, allegedly, Shane McMahon was a big person pointing fingers, making things move. A lot of wrestlers upset. Today, news broke, Bill. WWE is owned by Vince McMahon, the father
of Shane. Fired his son.
Kicked him out. Deuces.
See ya.
There is crazy stuff happening. I text somebody I know in there, and I said, what is going on? They said, the person I know isn't like in it, but they alluded me to the fact that like things are happening. Shane was there on Sunday. People weren't happy with him. Never expected this, but we'll find out more as the week goes on. And there's allegedly from the quote unquote insiders that this is like a ripple effect and there's more situations to come, but that's just crazy. And I guess the reason why is because Bad Bunny, who is awesome, dude, that guy, just put him in the ring. He's just, he's phenomenal. Him doing the Brock Lesnar to Brock Lesnar is fantastic. But they said, I guess his positioning kept getting moved and you don't treat outsiders like that. No, you shouldn't treat anybody like that. But like, this is a guy who doesn't, he's trained. He did all that stuff last year, had a good showing. And you don't like, basically it was like, oh, he's going to be 12. Nope. Nope. He's 25. Nope. He's 26. He's like, Where do I fit? Who am I going to be in there with? Who do I talk to? And I guess that was the big issue. Nobody knew who was supposed to be in the ring with who. Kofi, our guy Kofi Kingston, botched his insane attempt at trying to stop full momentum from like 15 feet.
I loved it though.
I did too. And I actually love that he didn't do it. I think too bad WWE wasn't creative enough to come up with a story with it, but we'll see what they come out with. But overall, the Rumble really good. But Shane McMahon getting just fired from his own father's company, just weird. But we talked about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nods earlier, Bill. Anything people should be watching or listening to?
I'm watching Peacemaker. It's okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll definitely do. I'm going to kind of wait. I'm probably going to binge them. I don't know. All I know, people keep talking about the openings. I still have yet to watch it. All people talk about is the openings. I'm watching Righteous Gemstones, which I think is like right before. I don't know when Peacemaker. Is that a Sunday night show?
I would assume.
Okay, so I watch Righteous Gemstones, hilarious show. I'm watching this movie called TV show called Servant on the Apple Plus. It's M. Night Shyamalan. If you're into weird stuff, you can watch that. And then obviously finished up Ozark. Are you an Ozark guy? I've never really talked about it.
I watched the first season and I was like, this is Michael Bluth, but darker. I might go back and rewatch it because I know people love it. But yeah, I was like,
He really is the most composed person. There's like all that memes. I think I shared one recently. It's like the guy in the face of like potentially whole family being murdered. And he's just calm, cool, collected. Like, can I get some of that? What kind of CBD gummies is this guy on?
Yeah, I don't know. This week in the
shared universe. Dead air.
This week in the Dork Shared Universe, I'm looking on my phone right now.
I can tell
MCU
you,
MCU Rewatch Vault for the Hockey Equipment Show did Thor Ragnarok. Dork did 2002 TV shows. And I don't know what anybody else did.
I think they did one of those throwbacks.
Yeah, they did Aliens.
That's cool. I got to check that.
TLDR did books.
Mm-hmm.
Pineapple Boys be doing the season 4 premiere of Psych tomorrow night.
Love it. If you're watching us live, there it is. Make sure you subscribe to all those podcasts. Hashtag Dork, Mac and Goo, Change My Mind, TLDR. I've heard it both ways. I know we got the streamers. I haven't seen a Shime stream in a long time. Shime's still streaming.
He's apparently going to be streaming, but he's doing big things. He was on the Greg Hill Morning Show, and he was phenomenal.
That's great. Big things. It's 4 hours. You can't start playing video games for my entertainment for me to pop in and say, hey, Sean, he says hi to me while he does it. And then I walk away.
I mean, he could. I think he is getting back into it. Maybe he's doing some hot tub streaming. I think that's a thing too. So,
ooh, okay. What about Dr. Joe? Is he streaming?
Oh, yeah, he'd be streaming. Oh, yeah. He's always switching. And then Arvon D does it exclusively on Dork. I think even Keith has been doing a little bit of it.
Yeah, recently. Keith's smart. He just plays old retro games, and it's so much like it's just easy to kind of watch. I think that listen, do what you want to do. I watch a little bit of him playing Mario 2. I think to myself all the time, why don't I just do this? Why doesn't everybody do this? Have some fun, put some stuff out there. Check out all the guys, the streams, their YouTubes, all their channels. Greatly appreciate it. But shout out to all of them. from there. Bill, upcoming pods, we don't really know, but we're coming up with some good stuff.
Female voice rankings, got to be one of them.
So next week we will be doing, when you say rankings, you mean like a tier list or you want to do top 11?
I don't know, maybe like favorite. I don't know, maybe get somebody on, who knows?
Okay, well, anyways, so we'll be talking about some female artists. We did halftime Super Bowl shows last year or 2 years ago now. I can't remember. I think it was last year. You got to check that episode out because it's a halftime show coming up. Maybe we'll figure out something there. We will be, I'm going to be finally sending this email. We are going to be putting together the next crossover event for the Dork Shared Gooniverse. So that includes all the podcasts we just mentioned. We are going to be doing the console wars. I think we've talked about it a little bit, but basically we're going to go console by console and we are going to have 11 categories, basically build an arcade as Billy once titled it. But it's going to be the podcast. So we'll have Dork versus Change My Mind versus Mac and Goo versus Pop Culture Pile Driver. And Bill, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this part of my email. When we put out the vote, I'm not going to tell people whose is whose.
Oh, I like that.
That's how we're going to get real votes. That's how this thing's going to, not like vote for Davey or vote for Keith or vote for Rossi, vote for Billy. No, no, no. It's just going to be like crop A, crop B, or arcade A, arcade B. We're going to start with Nintendo, the original NES. Me and Billy will brainstorm to make sure we have all the categories aligned, probably a few miscellaneouses, but obviously like your sports, your shooters, your porn, your movies after, or I was like the, my favorite is video games after crappy movies. So we'll get to all that, or movies in general, because Back to the Future is a great movie, crappy video game. But that's going to be some fun that may be coming later this month, early next month. Have some plans for that stuff. But Bill, you know, is there anything else you want to get off your chest before your other thing?
Slap it on the biscuit.
All right, I was going to set you up for that one. Sorry, I'm going to go and hang myself after this. I'm just kidding. I'm hung as it is. We will catch you guys all here next week. Frank says hi. Thank you for listening.